take their money and run like a Butterbar Lieutenant lost on the land nav course. Are you finally ready to plant your flag and claim your territory? Maybe it's time to use that VA loan to buy a home. Or hell, maybe you're looking to refinance and put some extra cash in your pocket for more questionable life decisions. Either way, the Veterans Mortgage Source, powered by Canopy Mortgage, has your six. Look, buying a home or refinancing can feel like getting overrun on a bad op. Chaotic, confusing, and full of obstacles that make no damn sense. That's where Corey and his team come in. They're like the QRF of home loans, ready to pull you out of the chaos and guide you to the best program for you. And trust me, they'll answer all your questions. Yeah, even the dumb ones. Whether you're a salty vet or fresh out of barracks still trying to figure out where your TA-50 went. Great service, solid rates, and a team that actually understands the military life. That's why all of us here at Veteran Trash Talk trust them to do right by every veteran in their family. Ready to lock it in? Give Corey a call or shoot him a text at 808-699-7874. That's 808-699-7874. Don't wait. Unless you like overpaying and getting treated like an FNG. The Veterans Mortgage Source is powered by Canopy Mortgage, LLC. All loans are subject to credit and property approval.
What's up, Trash Talkers? Listen, it's impossible to fight, okay, if you don't know what you're fighting for. Does that make sense? Like, if you're in the dumps and you're, you know, you're struggling with mental health, things of that nature, it's going to continue tearing you down, all right? Because you're consistently trying to fight something, which is that demon, which is usually something from the past, right? Maybe that why needs to be fighting for your future. Let that be your why. Get the hell up and start fighting for your future. Stop fighting things that happened in the past. Easier said than done, right? Go seek help. It's okay not to be okay. A lot of people need to hear this. You are more of a warrior and a fighter if you stand up and say, hey, this has to stop. I need to go seek help. The stigma, everything has changed. It's okay not to be okay.
And so my honesty cap is dedicated to a little, we'll call it a public service announcement for civilians and other people in the military. There are a few people that you should always take their stories with a grain of salt. Vegans, CrossFitters, and special operations guys that tell you that they were special operations without being prompted. And the first thing they say is, yeah, I used to be soft. Right. The only unicorn in that entire group is like a special operations guy that was like a vegan and did CrossFit. That guy's probably going to stay quiet for a little bit longer because he's confused as what he should talk about first. That's the only reason. Right. Anybody that says that they were soft without being prompted or without it being like a normal part of your communications is probably either an enabler or going to tell you a bunch of stuff that's not exactly true.
What's up, Trash Talkers? Hitting you up this morning with a special promo on how to dress when you are doing PT in civilians, but you want everybody to know you're an Army. This comes from the Buddy Beckwith fashion design of how to work out. So first, you can notice the RI panties, not Ranger panties, but Ranger instructor panties. The green socks, the knee brace for the old guys, don't forget the M-frames. Now the shirt, don't wear the Trash Talk shirt while you're running. This is just for the promo. You want to put on like an 80-second shirt or like your favorite airborne shirt so everybody knows that you're a veteran. That's the most important thing. And you start with this stretch. Buddy Beckwith taught me this one. ready to go.
This is the Veteran Trash Talk Hour, hosted by Nick, Dave, and Buddy. Real warriors making fun of other real warriors. Try to not get triggered.
What's up, Trash Talkers? What is up, Gruntworks Nation? Welcome to Season 2, Episode 29 of the Trash Talk Hour. Special guest today is Army veteran Sam with Valor Archery Challenge. And joining me today is guest host and also previous guest, Dan Hogan.
Hogan, whatever you want to call him.
Sorry. And man, you're on fire with the intros. Last week we had the Monte. Yeah, we had Monte last week. Now we got Hulk Hogan on the show.
We're changing names show by show, brother. We're changing names show by show. How y'all doing?
Good.
It's fantastic. Good.
Doing great, man. The Kentucky Derby's on. I made my mint julep. I don't know how horse racing works. I just picked the coolest name. And two races ago, it was Zulu Warrior. So I was like, I love that. $10. And it wins. And so that's my house money. Yeah.
Did Phoenix not win?
Phoenix hasn't run yet. So it's coming up next. Yeah.
I watched some like meme, but it was not a meme, but it was a real video. The race went, but like the horse that won stayed in the way back. Like you couldn't even see him on the film. And right when they got closer to the finish line, he's like, okay, I'm done trotting. And it was just like, whoop.
Wasn't that Seabiscuit?
I don't know what that was. Yeah, I don't watch horse racing at all either.
Yeah, they don't do it enough justice in the movie how it actually looked in real life.
Yeah, it's like, crazy. Yeah.
Yeah, he was way back and then kicked it. Yeah. Oh, hold on. We got to put this comment on TV because we love moms.
Hi, Dave's mom. Yeah. Hi, mom. Yeah, thanks for tuning in. Yeah, every Saturday, man. Every Saturday. That's what's up. Yeah.
Can't go wrong.
I don't need my mother.
Guy's probably right next to her.
Yeah. Yeah. Guy's probably next to her. Yeah. Air Force. Shout out to the Air Force. Right. There you go, Dan. We got some buddies, some porters here.
Gross.
Yeah. We'll get into the conspiracy in a sec, but I want to kind of talk about the Veterans Day thing that Trump is like trying to change. I just want to get everybody's thoughts on that briefly. Like,
Victory Day?
What you guys, Win Day or what? No. What is he? Victory Day. And I get it. It used to have a previous name, right? And then what, 1945? Sometime, 54, right? The name was changed to Veterans Day, right?
Keep throwing numbers. You're bound to hit it.
So. Yeah, it was 54. It was 54, I'm pretty sure. So a lot of people are like, yeah, they're cool with it. And some people are like, it's kind of bullshit. So I don't know. I think it's kind of retarded too. Just keep it the way it is. Like, there's been more wars since then, right? Because we were celebrating the victory of World War One initially, but now, like, we have the GWAT guys, we got the Vietnam vets, like, we got everybody. Like, let's keep it Veterans Day. Like, I think it's retarded to go back to. Yeah,
I saw that someone said you're just gonna like every day. So like, you know, OIF, OEF, right? That's Victory Day. Everyone's but then make them all federal holidays. So now we're just gonna. Boom on more federal holidays, right?
4-day weekends, bro. Let's go. Like,
and then my other take on like in war, nobody wins.
We have the status of forces agreement. You know? Hell yeah.
Yeah.
SOF day, baby.
So I mean, what do you guys think about that? Like, should it you don't care?
We didn't win World War One.
Well, nobody wins that war. That's just my opinion. Because people die, you know what I'm saying? Like that's like
No, it was an armistice, it was a tie. Right. We just said, okay, we're done. Right. Like, so sure. But again, I don't know.
I don't know. I read too. Like, I think they're already backpedaling. Like somebody was like, no, you are going to cause way more damage.
Yeah.
I can't get it. I got too many books in the way. I got the 20-year war and then the Joe Troutman book, but my brother made a sign for me. It said every day is Veterans Day. You know, and it was like,
yeah.
So, all right, I'll take it. Free drinks. Oh, we got Benny. Oh, you should, Dave. Your 17 languages that we can't prove that you actually speak. All right, might come into play here. How do you say that guy's last name?
He's from Denmark, though. Yeah. Jepsen. I don't know if you would pronounce a J as a yacht or like a J. Probably a yacht. Jepsen. In German, it would be a yacht.
Over there.
That'd be I lived in Germany, not Denmark.
That's all the same thing.
Different place.
Go there. That's gonna twist them up.
They're all the same. All European countries are the same. Yeah.
We got someone from Baltimore though. That's it.
We got my hometown. Rafaela. So Rafiki. There you go. So nice. Yeah. Welcome from the MD, for sure. I don't care. I don't care what they do. As long as I still get the day off, that's all that really matters. So just like we do it on Memorial Day, we all know what it means. We all know the bro vets that just want to trash somebody for saying thank you for your service on Memorial Day. You know, it's like, come on, relax.
I hate that.
And it's like,
say thank you. And if you're like educating them in the proper way, then just educate them and tell them, hey, this is different. Memorial Day is different than Veterans Day. It's that simple.
You know, just like we keep beating that horse with this because the horse is still running, so you got to keep beating it. I'm gonna barbecue on Memorial Day because you know my buddy who saved my life, who's dead now, that's what he'd be doing. He'd be drinking.
That's what he would want us to do. Yeah, like, for sure.
I don't get it. So yeah, I don't know. I think it's just like I think he's taking the Reagan strategy. Reagan did it in real life with like little small victory wars, like, you know, Panama, Grenada, you know, get America hyped up again, you know. And it's like, I think he's just like, I can do this right now and it'll make a bunch of noise and people will be happy for 10 days. And then we're good. Well, I'll do something else.
Forget about those tariffs. Don't worry about those tariffs. I'm going to change the name of your holiday.
Yeah. This is a distraction. What tariffs? Everything else.
Yeah. That's all it is. Forget about it. So it's like,
just clown show.
You know, there's the, you know, the people that really run the country, which you talked about a couple shows ago. I think Dan was on it, where it's like, they just, you know, like some guy, hey, pull the string, you know, push that button, push the COVID button.
My fear is, I don't want, and I'm not a politician or political kind of guy, but my fear is like he's going to go the old Joe way, like he's going to get the dementias, right? And just be
a little old. I mean, you can hear him. Yeah.
Although I'm pretty sure the cabinet wouldn't mind Melania running the meetings. So I think they'll be all right. So that is true that last cabinet meeting Joe had, Jill ran it. You know, and it's like, bro, that is must-see TV, though. We can talk about that in another show, is when he's had those cabinet meetings and has the press inside the meeting. Like, that's great. That's great TV. Who told you that? That's wrong. You're stupid. Like, right?
Now, he won't admit when he's wrong, though, either. That whole situation with that MS-13 guy with this disposable tattoo on his finger that was Photoshopped.
Obviously Photoshopped.
The reporter was giving him grace, bro. The reporter was like, let's just move on. No, that's an MS-13 tattoo.
It's right here. Mr. Trump,
that was Photoshopped, and the guy just wouldn't let go, man. And now he looks like an idiot. But, I don't know. Whatever. Let's get to a conspiracy, huh?
All right, we got Jack from Gettysburg. All right, let's make sure I do this right. I'm going to play this, David.
Well, don't play it quite yet. Have you guys heard of Mount Kailash in China? No. It's this mountain that's supposedly also a pyramid. NASA has like discovered some weird stuff. There's supposed to be structures in it, and there's some like crazy magnetic field that occurs there. And people that go there supposedly age a lot.
Don't cheat, Dan. Don't be looking it up.
I got you.
Oh. Supposedly there was, and in the video we'll talk about it, but the locals that live there, they say when you go there and you spend a lot of time there, like your hair grows a lot faster, your fingernails will grow a lot faster. It's all kinds of crazy stuff. So we're going to play the video and we'll talk about it. So go ahead, Nick.
What makes Mount Kailash is one of the most mysterious mountains in the world. Stay tuned for some surprising facts. Mount Kailash Peak is considered a giant ancient pyramid made by people, not a natural mountain. It's estimated to be 1800 meters high, which is much taller than the Egypt's 146 meter pyramids. Some scientists think that the Kailash Range is a powerful energy source that can affect both body and the mind. People who spend 12 hours near Mount Kailash are said to experience quick hair and nail growth, like what would normally happen in 2 weeks. There was a time when a group of Siberian climbers went beyond a specific point on the mountain and suddenly aged several decades. Shockingly, they all died of old age a year later. Many scientists have found the Mount Kailash could be the center around which the sky turns. Ancient texts like Vedas and Ramayana mentioned this, and scientists refer to it as Axis Mundi. Mount Kailash has never been fully explored due to difficulties like bad weather, altitude sickness, getting lost, and confusing paths. Despite these challenges, a Tibetan Buddhist monk named Milarepa managed to climb in the 11th century. His achievement is still remembered in the history of Kailash Mansarovar.
So when you Google a little bit, when you Google a little bit more,
Dan's face
and like
all.
You look into it, I just found it on TikTok, came across me. I always type in like, give me a conspiracy, and then I send it to Chris. But when you Google more of it, like supposedly it's closed off. So the Chinese government will not let you access the mountain. And supposedly you're not allowed to fly over it either. So like maybe there is some weird stuff going on there. I don't know. Maybe it is a pyramid that's there, you know, and they just don't want people going to like check it out. I don't know about the whole aging thing where people have gone up there and then supposedly age like really fast within 2-3 weeks, but I am very spiritual and I do believe in, you know, the pyramids and crazy stuff and maybe some weird energy field that's happening there. So I'm going to go with definitely something strange going on there, but I don't know about people like aging extremely fast when they go there, and I'll leave it at that. Sam, what do you got?
All right. So when the gentleman said that, you know, nobody's been to the top since the 11th century. Okay. Mm-hmm. So let's start there. The fact that nobody's been able to replicate this since then, that says something's wonky or sideways to begin with.
Yeah.
To say that you age different wrapped anywhere near this mountain. Come on now. That's stretching it. Mm-hmm. My gray is only going to get so gray before it gets gone.
Okay, fair. Do you think that there's anything like superstitious going on there?
It looks like a mountain to me. It doesn't look like a pyramid. When you look at, so if you look at the pyramids in Egypt, the ones in Mexico, the ones in kind of Cambodia area, yeah, they all have some similarities. That looked like a mountain in every picture or video that was up there.
Okay. All right. Cool. Dan, what you got?
Yeah, I would be, if I were the conspiracy, they just want people to stay away because it's China, right? They're probably hollowing that mountain out, and there's like vibranium in there. And then
you've been watching Andor.
It's going to be the Wakanda of our time. That's all it is.
Okay. Okay. Good. Good.
I like that answer better.
Right.
Yeah, that's a good answer. Nick, what you got?
Yeah, it's been a while since I prefaced my response with, I usually go last because I'm the smartest person on the panel, and we, you know, I'll take all of, you know, your uneducated opinions into it and then try to make them make sense for the average person listening. So first of all, I right away, we know this is fake because what's 1800 meters? Like, does anybody know what's 1800 meters high? What is meters? Like
1.6 miles, right? The conversion.
What is that? Yeah, like how many football fields?
Yeah.
Right. Like, nobody knows what meters are. If you want, no.
So we all do. We spent time in the military, man. Right. We all know the metrics.
Well, we only use
zero and 50 meters
for
come
like
on
things
now.
That make sense, like, you know, weapons, but like and artillery. But that's the only time we ever care about the metric system.
Point targets and area targets. Yeah.
No, there's definitely something here, and you know, with like Dan saying, it's China. There, you know, it could be building a Death Star, and they're, you know, they're taking out the minerals from the mountain and sending them up to space. And then, you know, you can't fly it over. And they're saying from, you know, NASA, NASA made some discoveries. So I think Katy Perry was on to something.
As soon as you Google it, it tells you about NASA's discoveries. What'd you say?
Yeah. You notice, I think Katy Perry's on to something.
We know we're sideways now.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm going to wait for the official report from the last space, you know, travel. I'm pretty sure that's what they were doing. So they sent Katy to go check it out and
she's
give
gonna
us
going to write that AAR up. Yeah.
That's one I've been wanting to cover. That shit. There's some, they like, you guys seen some of that shit?
Oh my god!
Where they landed, and like they opened up the door prematurely, and they weren't supposed to, and it's like all on video.
Yeah, the ship's all clean and stuff like that. It's crazy, but yeah, the fake the moon landing.
We've talked about that one, huh? Yeah,
but I mean, again, is we have covered this before in the shows to where, you know. Is there is this where the sky turns? Is that what he said? The sky turns here on top of it?
Yeah.
I mean, can we prove that wrong?
Well, we know we're not flat Earth, so yes.
Do for we? Sure.
Yes.
I mean, there's still those people out there. Based off
what we're told, right? Based off what we're told, but none of us could actually, like, if we wanted to physically, personally prove it, we couldn't. But obviously, we all know that the Earth is not flat, but that's based off what we were told, right?
Can you prove that the sky doesn't rotate around the top of that? I mean, because technically it does.
Well, right? Being the fact I've never
rotates around there, everything.
The right. No is the answer.
This is how you win arguments. You're not right, but you're not wrong. Right?
Just like, shit. Yeah. You act like you know what you're talking about.
Does that mean say it with confidence. Thank you for smoking? The movie Thank You for Smoking. He's like, you don't have to be right in an argument. You just gotta make the other person wrong about something.
What a good movie.
Like,
yeah.
So no, I mean, I think this is real. I think there's definitely some kind of force there. And the Chinese are definitely hiding it because, you know, they probably don't know. They're a few centuries behind, you know, like what we can actually figure out. You know, the world owned China for like 10,000 years. So as soon as they develop more, I think they'll be able to figure out the power that they have in that pyramid. I'm not sure, but
yeah. It's just very North Korea propaganda, right? They can spin whatever they want to do.
Yeah, maybe Kim Jong-un the fourth or whatever his name is now, like, you know, maybe he's like telling the people, hey, you'll get food once the pyramid tells us we get food. You know, so it's just not in the cards yet. Electricity, it's all controlled by that mountain. So that's why you don't have any. The mountain says no electricity right now for you. But yeah, I'm excited here because like I said, it took me like 10 years to get Dan on the show. And now we can't keep him away. So I figured
I was flabbergasted when you reached out and we're just like, would you want to? I was like, what? Oh, here we go. Okay.
Yeah. But no, we don't know where Buddy is. Buddy's again missing. Does this. Yeah. You know, he's a, you know, retired special ops guy with a beard. So I had to find another retired special ops guy with a beard to replace him. So found Dan. However,
I would say too, it's with having Sam on. Right? Well, because we'll get into archery, then we're going to overrun the show with nothing but archery.
That's fine. That's the whole point of it. So we're going to, and then again, that's when I introduce Sam, I'll bring that up again. But we actually are going to give Dan a segment. All right. So we're going to give him a segment that usually Buddy and I cover where we kind of talk about what triggered us because, you know, Quit Being a Triggered Pansy is, you know, Book of Earl. But like, you know, like for instance, I was talking to Dave today, like, you know, I was walking my dog this morning. And it's the fourth walk in a row where somebody said how cute my dog was. You know, and I'm like, what about me?
Huh? Take it as a hint.
You don't think I got feelings? Right? Like, what about, like, no? Nothing, huh? Just a dog. Okay, cool. You know, and so it kind of pisses me off a little bit. You know, like, why is it always the dog? Why can't, hey, you know, like,
just trying to be nice. Like, and that's the only nice thing they can say to you. So,
right.
Look at it. Class at four.
But that's about the only thing that triggered me this week. I had a pretty good week. Yeah. So I'll give it to Dan. Dan, give us that bougie Air Force moment. I think that's what we can call it. The bougie Air Force moment.
I like that.
Yeah. No, I had one. I mean, it's Air Force.
It was attacked, so there's all kinds of trigger moments there.
Yeah. No.
It rained yesterday.
You were talking about like your dog. I bought a new pair of shoes. I bought a new pair of these Nike like city shoes the other day at work. And I went in and no one said shit about my shoes. And so I had to flash my shoes and said, how about
put them up on the table and stuff.
Yeah, like, how about these shoes?
They're standing like sideways flashing.
Like now you're like, you just became, you know, you went back to your Arab days and started throwing them at people.
Yeah.
You know, like if they're throwing their shoes.
You know, $100 on these shoes, man. Look at these shoes. They look pretty cool.
No, I feel you on that, man. You buy something nice and, especially if you don't wear like I don't wear a lot of nice like clothing unless I go out somewhere, you know. It's like, but right. So if I put something on, it's like I want someone to see it.
Sure,
like,
yeah,
on, man.
Well, I do
get that one person. Too. Yeah.
I still wear my Cry Precision pants. So I, you know, my outfits.
I was gonna say Nick probably still wears his running shoes.
Yeah,
exactly. I got my New Balances on, you know, tucked in shirt, right. You know. So,
but I'll make sure people know that they're Cry Precisions, right? They weren't issued Army, you know, trash stuff. Yeah. I mean, these were Cry Precisions. Yeah.
It's the same thing.
Yeah. Thank you. I mean, I got to give you a compliment on your shoes, Dan. I love shoes. I'm a shoe guy. Yeah.
I'd have been like,
cool,
yeah.
Cool sneakers, bro. Cool sneakers.
My wife, my closet's probably, my side's probably worse than my wife's.
Yeah. Same here. Yeah, we have like a big walk-in closet. It could be a bedroom, and I have like nothing but shoes, man. I'm always ordering new Nikes shit. Yeah, I have a problem with another shoes.
Pair.
You're like,
yeah. The fact that you had to ask that is the answer.
Yes, 100%.
Yes,
that's some Air Force bougie.
Yeah,
bougie stuff right there. Yeah,
good. I like that.
Oh,
all right, Nick.
I'm hiding mine, and you just flashed it across the screen.
Mm. What, the bow or something? What?
No, what happened? Dave.
Oh, the drink? You don't got to hide it. We're sponsored by 10th Mountain Whiskey.
Like, that's my juice. Okay. So back in the day.
I do always flash this one, though. No? We're always looking for a new sponsor. Right.
Monster. Yeah, the monster. Yeah, for sure.
C4 frozen bombsicle.
And you know how I do my shitter talk? And I'll just cover this real quick. And again, I got paid $7 for my last video. So $7 to take a dump. So I don't care how much money you make in your life. I'm better than you, right? Because unless you can make more than $7 taking a poop, like it is what it is. So I was on the shitter today, and I decided I look for the news. I want to talk about the news, and nothing's coming across. So I go on the X. I go on X and I start scrolling X, and you got old retired General Patrick Donahue talking about how 10th Mountain, when he was deputy commander of 10th Mountain Infantry Division, he witnessed that they weren't able to fight on the modern day battlefield. They were too vulnerable. They were too slow. Right. And so then I'm like, boom, there it is. There's my shitter talk. So, I posted it. I posted a little video about it, and then showed his comments. And I'm like, maybe you should have deputy commanded the 82nd Airborne, right? Because we're not too fucking slow, all right? So, like, wow. You might want to walk that one back, old Patrick Donahue. First of all, you ain't CD. You ain't Chris Donahue, all right? You're Patrick Donahue. And, look at that, 10th Mountain. It's too slow, bro. Too slow. Put that slow patch away. We're like, you can't even fight in a modern day battlefield.
You're saying he just made that statement? Like he's retired
now? He just
made
that statement. Yeah, he's retired. Dude. So he just straight crushed that entire division. Like, yeah, they're too vulnerable, too slow, can't fight. Okay. Well, I guess we're not sending you guys anywhere because we'll send the 82nd, the 101st. They'll do their job.
Yeah.
So
we'll let the adults.
So is that it, Dan? You just your bougie Air Force moment was the shoes.
Yeah, and my Cry Precisions, right? So Cry Precision, right? Oh, shout out Cry Precision, not the what do you guys call your issued stuff when you get
pants? You guys,
your CIF gear?
CIF, yeah, right. You guys issued that crap. You guys were running around Afghanistan in like $40 clothes, and I had like a $200 outfit.
Well, you guys got like what $150,000 bonuses?
And I was a guard baby too. So like for my deployment, I didn't deploy with the guard. That's actually why I had that 10th Mountain patch. I deployed with 10th Mountain as their JTAC for down in the South. But the we had like $1 million to like outfit like 10 of us. Like so even I would tell you bougie moment. Wow. So I show up in some Cry Precisions. I got a Surefire suppressor on my M4, right? EOTech-ing it and all everything, the ACOGs and stuff, and they're like, whoa, high speed. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, what are those pants?
Right? Like, you're just made of gold walking around here. Chill out, dude.
I would see these JTACs, and they'd be like E8s, and E7s, E8s. And I'm like, what are you doing over here? I'm like, dude, bonuses.
My,
like, you're a little too old to be running around the mountains with us.
Yeah, my colonel at the time, he got, so he was ALO, so he was an F-15 pilot, and he became... But he got his JTAC status and he went out on a few ops like just to do some JTAC stuff. And I'm like, you are freaking these army guys out. Like, here's a lieutenant colonel, right? Just like not being a real like a lieutenant colonel, just being a JTAC with you. Yeah. On ops.
Yeah, you're an attachment, bro.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Come here, dude. Boom, boom. That thing over there.
What's like a platoon? Like a platoon commander is probably what a lieutenant, right?
I think. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. First
Yeah. Yep.
This poor first lieutenant's got a lieutenant colonel JTAC on his op.
Yeah, and then you got a captain is probably the ground force commander that's like, like, do I clear it hot or you're good? Like,
Waltemeyer. If he ever listens to this, I'll say his name, Colonel Waltemeyer. He was a wrestler. He had that wrestler mentality, so that's why he did shit like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Big forehead, cauliflower ears. Like, yeah, perfect. So, that dude, if he's quiet, be nice to him. So this is what it is. All right. Well, I get the perfect. We got a whole half hour to talk about something that's been, you know, really important to me because, like I said in the script, I go on Facebook a lot, you know, I scroll it, see how I can help, right? See what can Veteran Trash Talk do? And you know, what can Grunt Works do to help out the community? And I follow this guy named Dan, and he's into this like archery stuff, you know, and like it seems like, you know, he's got all the cool pictures, like his veins are popping out, you know, and you know that they focused in on that, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, but then he made
gotta
a mistake.
Do it for the gram, you know? Bro. Got to do it for the gram.
Right. And then, you know, it's like, he's like, I can't hit the target. I'm left, you know, and it's like,
well, I hit it. It was just to the left.
Yeah, you know, so an unethical shot on a deer, right? You're not going to kill the deer.
Like, yeah, 90 yards. Yeah, that's not.
Yeah, yeah. Like, be better, all right? Especially with the equipment that I saw. So, anyways, I'm like, what can I do to help him? I'm like, oh shit. I was like, I forget Sam's coming on, right? So we got this army tanker of all people. Ooh,
be nice,
right? We got a tanker mechanic. We got a tanker mechanic. Well, you're all tankers, just like everybody in the Navy's a submariner. I don't know, like a submariner. I don't know, whatever, or an F-18 pilot. That's the only thing I care about. So we'll give you the tanker. But he's, you know, when I look at your website, it's obvious there's over 80,000 veteran nonprofits. But what we like here on Veteran Trash Talk is anything that gets people outside, right? Anything that gets people doing things, maybe a little outside their comfort zone. Teaching them a skill to get better at, you know, that they can focus, concentrate on, just anything. And again, we hate PTSD as a all-encompassing term. All right, there's aspects of it that, you know, are more damaging than other aspects of it. Some of the things of PTSD are really good, but we get to bring Sam on to help Dan stop pulling his arrows left. Or he can talk about his service and then what led him into his awesome nonprofit that he has going on and how we can donate to it, how we can get to it, and what exactly is it and what does it do. So welcome to the Trash Talk Hour. Not bad for a tanker, right? Not many tankers make it, so here you are. So let's spill the beans.
All right, so first and foremost, a for-profit, not a non-for-profit.
Oh, sorry, for-profit. Yes.
Yep. So using archery as therapy for the military and veteran community. It's really what it's all about. I spent the last 15 years using archery as my therapy, trying to overcome stress and anxiety and depression, alcoholism, and the whole nine yards. And it's become my therapy. So now I'm bringing it to the rest of the team. Dan and I have been talking 2 years-ish.
Yeah.
Off and on.
Yep.
So, you know, been chatting it up, figuring out how to make it work, putting it together. He was kind enough to send me one of the logos that I use on the shirts and on my registration booth or rental booth rather. But if we go back a little bit, so Army Tank Mechanic, clarify that, spent 7 years in from 94 to 01, got crushed by a tank, medically separated out, spent the next 22 years working in IT, dealing with different technology. A lot of that time I spent in the firearm space, shooting 2-gun, 3-gun, indoor combat league, pistol rifle, long range sporting clays. And a buddy of mine said, dude, you realize that after every event that you go to, after every shooting session that you have, you're an ass. So he put a bow in my hand. He said, send a couple arrows, just see how you feel. So I put the first arrow down range, went, okay, that was fun. And I felt different. I sent the second arrow down range and I went, okay, there's something to this. And 15 years later, I can tell you that every arrow that I let go of, a little bit of stress, a little bit of anxiety, a little bit of depression, all go out the door with that arrow. And over time, it's really changed the ball game of who I am and what I am and where I'm going.
Awesome. Yeah. So we talked about this a little bit pre-show, but it doesn't do any good because nobody's watching pre-show. Tanks are large, right?
Yeah, about 72 tons.
Yeah, like you can see them, right? Like that.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
How do you get run over? How do you get out of the way?
Dummy. Didn't dummy.
Get out of the way. I mean, it's a freaking tank.
Well, you know, so I don't know if you know this or not, but most military guys think they're a little cockstrong. And exactly. And so I said, I can hold this tow bar because we're shorthanded. So I can hold this tow bar up and let another tank back into it. And I got this. Well, it's 600 degree exhaust blowing in your face and you close your eyes because you don't want that cooking your eyeballs. So toe pinel, toe bar should have went like that. I missed. It did that and it just kept backing up with all that weight and just crushed the crap out of my leg. Oh, so put me on the ground.
We're wearing a PT belt, were you?
And no safety belt involved. That was the problem. You're absolutely
no eye pro either. You would have the eye pro on. You would have been.
Yeah.
Well, hey Sam, I know you said you got medically retired. I mean, but like, did it like break your legs? I mean, were you like crushed?
Nope. So no. Dislocated the knee, dislocated the hip, and crushed all the muscles flat.
Yeah. Wow.
That's wild.
Yeah.
So everything just it all buckled it at the time.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, that's pretty cool. I mean, because that could have been a lot worse. Right?
Oh yeah.
Should have went airborne to the 82nd. You would have gotten run over by a
tank. Yeah, you would have fucked your legs up without any cool stories. What the hell? Yeah.
Just your back, maybe, right?
Your legs and back would be all trash, and you wouldn't have a cool story. You'd just be like, I can't walk anymore.
Right.
This is what it is.
That's crazy. Yeah.
But yeah, so yeah, well, you started sending arrows. Yeah, go ahead.
Talk about the organization and what you guys do and everything.
So Dan knows a little bit of this story because he helped me start it up, really. So courtesy and thank you to Dan for helping push me in the right direction.
I am an inspiration. Huh? Yeah. Big deal.
So as I stepped away from an IT career, I started a company called Archery in Motion, which was moving targets. Mm-hmm. I got bored shooting stationary targets with archery. So I decided I'd spin up because that 22-year IT career, time in the military as a tank mechanic, you get a little bit of welding experience. Then you add IT to it. Then you add competitive shooting with it. Well, that creates a moving target because I got bored. So I took Archery in Motion across the country 2023-2024. Had a lot of fun with it. Put it in front of about 300,000 archers across the country. Everybody had a good time with it. Nobody made me a millionaire out of it. So what I found is that if I bring it into my own event, then I can kind of run things how I want. And I can spin this a little different. I also get to bring that archery as therapy to a different community. And whereas Dan was at TAC last weekend, TAC is a fun event. I've shot it for the last 6 years. But what's missing is that camaraderie portion. You're not really getting that community out of it. You're just out there to shoot. So I said, well, let me spin this to where I'm doing something different. So I'm hosting my events typically on military bases, which is something different than what TAC does. I'm bringing the veteran service and veteran hunting and fishing outdoor organizations to the table. So they've got a free booth at the events to really kind of create that community, intermingle with everybody. And it's just a different game. Like in the other part of that, when you go to the gun range, right? For those that are you still active or veteran, it may trigger something when you're at the gun range. It shooting that human silhouette may put something back in your memory. It may re-trigger that. When you're slinging an arrow at a foam animal, there's no neurological connection. So all you're doing is out there to have fun.
Yeah. Shooting at a silhouette would just make me mad because I missed the guy once. Like, and that son of a bitch, like, he was like IMTing, right? And it's like every time I would shoot like three rounds and he would go down, I'm like, ha ha! And then he would get back up. I'm like, damn it. Ha 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 ha. And then he would get back up.
Crazy night, dude. And he ended up dropping like a quarter of a mile away, but yeah, he still got hit so many times.
Why won't he just die? Like, so yeah, they'll probably bring up some.
So bad you need more practice on a moving target, is what I'm hearing out of that.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, or just a little bit of patience. Like, yeah, they're all hopped up on, you know, PCP and jumping 10-foot walls. It's like, all right, bye bye. So you can see you later. We got Jeremy Montgomery saying, what's up, suckers?
Yeah.
What's up, Jeremy?
Yeah.
So, nice. So thanks for watching on YouTube.
Oh, go ahead, Nick. Go ahead.
No, that's fine. I was going to do a shameless plug.
I was going to say, for anybody that's watching it, wants to maybe, you know, start that venture up, like, what are the costs look like starting with a bow, what type of bow?
Talk about that entrepreneurial
stuff. What does that look like for somebody who's like, hey, I really want to get an archery. This sounds cool.
So,
you know, is it?
You don't have to do what Dan and I do. Let's start there. Dan and I both fell off the edge years ago. It can start fairly inexpensive. So a lot of my rental bows, they started about $25 a piece off of eBay. You can pick up a dozen arrows for $30 to $50. It really doesn't have to be expensive. As you fall down the rabbit hole, you end up with a $3,000 bow with another $1,000 worth of gear on top of it. And then, you know, $2,000 worth of arrows hanging out that you're just going to go blow up against steel or trees or whatever. There you go.
Oh, snap.
Yep. Oh,
so
gold
what's
tips.
The average? What's the average? This is a gold tip. I usually, right? I'm probably What do you shoot, Sam?
So I'm mix and mingle between Easton 4mm and Mamba Archery's rep tools.
Yeah, so I shoot like Easton's too, but I had this. This is a gold tip. This is one I hunted with. This is right. But these aren't cheap. Like, I mean, they're, you know, you're talking like 10 or 12 bucks. But that's the point. And I'm just jumping in because when you hit a foam target, you get this back.
Yep.
I was going to say you can reuse it. Yeah.
As long as you don't hit trees or steel.
Or rocks. Yep. Or rocks, because this is made of carbon fiber, right? I mean, it flexes, obviously, but it's carbon fiber, so it'll break on a rock and stuff, but you get it back, and, right? So even though, I was pulling left, so I was hitting a lot of targets in the butt, right? A lot of dick shots, right? A lot of
gross shots. You're neutering all the animals out there?
You only kill the big buck, right? You don't go after anything else.
No. Yeah. Well, these are all our foam targets. I mean, you got like a little snapping turtle to a turkey. Yeah, to
why
a
why would
buck,
you shoot a turtle?
Huh?
Why not? What do you shoot a turtle for?
So there's a company called Reinhardt, right? I'll give Reinhardt a plug. Reinhardt Targets. They make the bunch of foam targets. They make a whole bunch of stuff.
So so if we're going to throw that out there, Dan, right? There's Reinhardt, there's Delta McKenzie, there's Big Shots, there's Wildcrete, and there is 365 that all make 3D archery targets in different animal shapes, fashions, forms, and varieties. So I have everything from little bunny rabbits to Bigfoots to Yetis. So you're just slinging arrows at an assortment of targets.
Yeah.
Sweet.
But that community that Sam was talking about, guys, too, it's something that, right, and I'm just jumping in because it's for me, and that's why when Sam and I, LinkedIn, right, so when we hit a LinkedIn success stuff, you know, we reached out. But, like, when I go to the opening tack is usually in Oklahoma, you have 2,800 people over 3 days showing up.
That's wild.
It is. Yeah. Sam, it is super wild. And it's just a blast of like seeing these people and you're out in the woods and you're walking like a 2 or 3 mile course. Right. And the resiliency of like, hey, I'm hitting the target or I'm not hitting the target. Right. And there's no loud booms. I love shooting. Right. I mean, I'm sure we all still love shooting. Shooting's great, but like archery for me, like I really haven't gone out and blasted at a gun range in a very long time.
For 14 years for me.
Yeah. And I don't dislike it. It's just picking up the bow. I look at my bows
right there. It's never out of reach.
Right there in the case up there.
Go ahead. So you mentioned these events. Yeah. So if somebody sees, you know, your next event that you're hosting, obviously we're going to put out the website and all that. They just come there. What does the cost look like? It's $25, you said, or like to rent a bow? Like
So my events start at $40. Okay. They do not look like mother-in-laws. That's technically illegal.
You do make a zombie target though, right, Sam? They make a zombie target.
That's called premeditated, homie.
Exactly.
The sentence goes up, right?
Good job, right. Jeremy. You can definitely not shoot your mother-in-law the bow now because now she knows.
Yeah, that's bad form. Bad form.
It's an extra 25 years for that comment.
So my events start at $40. Those that are military or veteran get a challenge coin that comes along with it. Hopefully that'll show up in here.
Oh, I like that. Very cool.
So those that are military or veteran get a challenge coin as part of the registration fee. Rental gear is an additional 15. So that covers bow, arrow, arm guard, and hip quiver. And that's enough to get you out on the range. If you've got your own gear like Dan and I, we're just going to send you out and let you have fun. You have an entry level course for those that have never shot before or those that are new to the sport. And that covers about 15 targets, nothing more than 20 yards. Everything's broadside. And then you build into the next level course, which goes out to 50 yards. But that's where we integrate the moving targets. And now, this last round in April, I had a fence line shot that was only 30 yards out. But I put a wire fence line about 7 yards in front of it, and it humbled more than not.
Very cool. Very cool. And then how many times a year do you do these events? Is it quarterly or like
right now?
Go ahead.
May, June, July, August, and then I'm taking September off and I'm building an event for October.
Okay. And what's the next location?
The next one will be Bailey, Colorado, up at American Bowman Archery Club. That's 14 days out. So May 17th.
Nice.
They've got a little bit more of a mountain course. It's already set up. We're going to tear theirs down, set up my own, kind of use some of their existing shot scenarios, but build up a whole bunch of new actual shot scenarios rather than just broadside targets. Try to avoid the trees. I'd rather have steel plate in there just to make it a little bit more challenging. And, you know, Sam, everybody loves the sound of that ping.
Yeah. You're saying you're going to stay in Colorado, right? You're doing Colorado like
for 2025. Yeah. Oh,
yeah. Yeah. Okay.
2026. I've already got a couple groups that are looking, talking about South Dakota or Montana. And I've got this guy down in Texas that's dying to bring me down there. So
might be named Dan.
Yeah. It might be. His name might be Dan. Yeah.
Well, good luck getting a hold of him. But once you do, you can't get rid of him. So
his number's on my phone already. We're good.
So have you ran into these guys like up in Gypsum?
Not yet.
Yeah. I'll hook you up with Ryan up there. Yeah. Maybe have an archery event up there.
They're not too far from you. My
bourbon and arrow could go wrong.
Bourbon and arrow sounds like a great idea.
That's an expensive day, is what that is.
No. Is there pre-registration required?
It's not. You can do a walk up.
Cool.
It's cool. Online registration makes it a little easier, so I can plan.
Right.
So as Dan knows, TAC has this wonderful thing called knock times. So think of it like a golf course where you've got a tee time. I've mimicked that in my scenario. So the pre-registration means I can allow for 15 people per group to go out every half hour. And it makes it a little bit easier to work with. But if I've got, you know, 30 people that do a walk up, I'm going to send 15 people at a time, and the next 15 just have to wait a little bit. It's all good.
It's if you guys want to imagine it, and just for anyone listening or watching too, like when you imagine it, like I always tell people, it's archery golf.
Yeah.
And when I say that, it's literally right. You go to hole one and there'll be a cone and it'll be the number one or a sign. Right. And then you sling and you shoot, you go, you pull, and then you're
going to hike to the next wall.
Yeah. You're going to like your next target. It's archery golf, just over 2 or 3 miles. Right. Yep. And you're walking. When you go to the
gun range, you're stationary. You're shooting at a stationary target. You're muffed up. You're not having the interaction. You're not having a conversation. Yep. When I take you out to the archery range, we're having a conversation just like we are right now. There's a level of trash talk in there because
there is.
Especially when you neuter a target.
So you have a lot more people at church, bro. So like, it's
a good time.
Yeah.
Nice. And then you mentioned it's for veterans and all that, active duty. What about family? Like if somebody wants to bring their spouse or okay, got it.
And I've got kids rental bows, for kids all the way down to age 6.
That's anybody what I was about to ask up. You what you would recommend age wise. Yeah, that was gonna be my next question. That's awesome, man. That sounds like a lot of fun. I think we should, Nick. I should maybe do a little trip out there on one of the events.
Yeah, for sure.
That'd be fun, dude.
They are a blast. And that's the thing too. Like you can take, and then Sam, I don't know if you're doing it with your courses. And so Sean's the owner of the other TAC, and you can move up. So or you can push back maybe a little bit if you can get a thing. And so that's why we talk about a level of like where Sam has, this is where you should stand. And this is the target is like, you know, if you're a kid or you or your wife or whoever, right. If you're like, you could push up a little bit.
Yep.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as long as you're between the cones, I don't care.
Yeah. Right. And so yeah, there's a level of that is super cool because that's the other thing too. Bows, right? We'll go like I'll add into this. Sam and I are shooting like a compound bow, right? So we're reaching out 100 yards, 100+.
Keep going.
Right. Yeah. 100+. 106 is my best of hitting a buck target, a good foam.
Keep going.
Nice.
Yeah. But if you're looking at a recurve bow, like the old Robin Hood, right? If we're picturing this Robin Hood.
Sticking string.
Would you say like 30 or 40?
50-ish 20? At max.
Yeah, right? So, yeah. And people will go to Sam's events and other events and shoot those bows as well. It's not just a compound bow.
What about crossbows? No.
Crossbows aren't in the same league. Basically, you're shooting a rifle that has an arrow on it.
Got it. Okay.
Interesting. I just use nunchucks. And Chinese
stars. I use ninja stars.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah, I want to see you come out and throw some ninja stars at these targets. That would be fun.
Chicks only like guys with skills, you know, like nunchuck skills, bow staff skills.
And that's the thing, really. Some of the difference between the archery and shooting too is the level of if you were on the range and you were shooting at a target, like when you're looking at safety, and there's always safety involved with this. But your level of like your safety fan, right? I'll go to my JTAC days, like a safety fan is way less and way less concerning than if you were ever doing anything with like, say, a rifle or a pistol shooting.
Yep.
You clear a target like you could be like maybe 10 feet away and you're like clear, right? Because it would be a really bad, like the guy would have to be high drunk and on meth to like shoot you, right?
There's always a level of safety. You always have to make sure that you're out of the way because you don't know what the next guy, how the next person shoots,
right?
Of course.
But I did have somebody challenge me at the April event. He said, I know you're a compound shooter. I said, I am. He goes, so how do you do with a trad bow? I said, I can do it. So we were 20 yards from a bunny rabbit target, and I grabbed one of the rentals that he was shooting, and I grabbed one of the rental arrows, and I tin ringed it first shot. And he just looks at me and goes, okay, we're not playing with you. I said, no, I've done this for a long time.
Yeah. So I've never shot a traditional recurve yet.
Come on up. I'll teach you how.
I know. So Sam is always trying, I need to get up to Colorado. But I have a corporate job now, and I actually have like PTO, and it's not unlimited, and so it's difficult.
That was a choice.
It was. We'll see.
Yep.
Yeah. Very cool. Very cool. And we have the website, right, Nick? Yeah.
Yep. Oh, Nick's muted.
What's the name of the website again?
ValorArcheryChallenge.com.
There you go. Yep.
Good. And that's got all the upcoming events.
That has everything. I actually just rebuilt it.
Did I do that right?
2 days ago. Yep. That's the one.
Yep. And I'll plug him too. So his other one, Archery in Motion.
Yep.
That's his.
That's the moving target. That's a whole different ball.
Archery in Motion.
Archery, the letter N is in Nancy, motion.com.
Yep. I got a big screen over here and I'm looking at, I got your IG up, Sam.
There you go.
In Motion.
Yeah.
So we just released the Monster on that one. The Monster is it's a 74-foot oval track. Yeah, yep, that's the right website. So it gives you quartering to, quartering away, broadside, frontal, and 13-foot distance change, all in the same shot scenario. I could take a full-size sheep target and run it for about 7 hours, just nonstop looping it.
Yeah, and so I've never shot it either. I mean, that's one of the things, like, it is, like, that for me, like, I mean, it's a brilliant idea. And, like, I know, Sam, you said, like, it's not making you $1 million, but I think it's for sure a novelty. And then on the archery side, like that's all day when you're out there in the middle of the woods.
I definitely like it. And then I'll go back to the beginning where, you know, I said a nonprofit and correction, it is for profit. Talk about that a little bit, because even with Veteran Trash Talk, we decided to go for profit. We didn't want to be nonprofit because, again, there's so many of them, and nonprofit, we probably make more money, but like for profit, you know, we just, you know, again, we sell our shirts, we get advertisement on the shows, a lot of that goes back. But talk about the difference between, you know, your decision making, because there will be a lot of people watching this that are thinking on the fence of being an entrepreneur, whether or not they go profit, nonprofit. What was the strategy there?
Okay, so I'm gonna hold off on that question. Let's go to the entrepreneur side. So in my side time, outside of owning the two businesses, I'm also an IVMF ambassador. So Syracuse University has their IVMF program that takes military connected folks. And if they want to become entrepreneurs, they put them through 4 or 5 different programs to help get there. I'm one of the ambassadors for Colorado. So I help push people towards that direction.
Nice.
Yeah. So I already play in that entrepreneur space. Now to answer your question, why for-profit versus not-for-profit? Well, the biggest piece is in the not-for-profit space, you have to have a board of directors and they all have to agree on a decision. And I'm, as my wife would say, have some control freak issues. I want to do things the way I want to do them. So when Dan said, you know, earlier focused on Reinhardt targets, that's why I listed off the other 5, because realistically I want to incorporate all those different targets into my space. And I don't want to have to have a board of directors that tells me or dictates how I do things. If I look at the actual archery world, the ASA, the IBO, RMA, CSA, all the different groups that actually focus on how archery should be run, none of those want to have or incorporate a moving target. Well, all the more reason. I'm going to go with a for-profit, my own way, my own thing. That way I can incorporate that moving target and I get to play my game how I want to play.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I would say too, like the word challenge is in his company. Right. And, not that I won't push the other one, but we'll just say the word challenge is in the other company as well that does these events. That's the whole point. It's a challenge.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I will bring easy shots to the table. I will bring shot scenarios that will make you work for it. The other company, they want to stretch you out to 100 yards, and I'm fine with that. I had no heartburn with taking those shots. But if you put a brand new shooter out 106 yards from a target, they're going to look at you and go, how am I supposed to do this? Versus if I make that farthest shot 52 yards, but it's moving, that's a whole different world. And now it's just fun.
Oh, I like that. That's awesome. We're going to have to get out there and get after that as well. Definitely. That would be a lot of fun.
Hashtag archery therapy. Like it is with Sam. Like we need to just crush the world with that.
And I do. I love that. Every social media post has that hashtag in it.
Yep.
Good. Hashtag archery therapy.
Archery is therapy.
Yeah. It took me a while. I had a few bourbons last night doing the fight show, and I'm like, archerist? Like, because I was saying, you know, hey, tune in tomorrow because we have some kind of archer on, or
Robin coming on with a bow and arrow.
All right. So you said the word. You said the word. Let's talk about that word. Dan, you know what a Robin Hood is.
Yep.
Cool. Help me explain it.
When another arrow basically butt plugs the other arrow.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. Well, how many do you have?
Do you bite? You gotta bite the feather off so it curves.
Yeah, I've never Robin Hood another arrow.
Okay, I've got 12 on stationary targets. I've got 6 on moving targets.
Nice.
Six Robin Hoods on moving targets. Have you ever done the, like I said, have you ever bit the feather off so that they curve?
No.
No.
It's BS.
Conspiracy theory. That's conspiracy.
Just because you can't do it doesn't mean it's a conspiracy. You just come on. We all saw it. Kevin Costner did it.
Yeah, well. Movie footage.
Yeah. He's gonna be trying that next week. He's gonna be sitting around.
I'm gonna get this. Shit. Yeah, if you go a little deeper actually, in my Instagram, I have one video specifically where we've got the moving target rolling. I ended up catching that Robin Hood on 2 different camera angles.
Oh, nice.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a guy on Instagram, Sam. You know who it is. Like, I don't know who. Like, when he does all the trick shots.
Oh, James Dean.
Yeah. There's a guy. He shoots a bow. Yeah, and he does some crazy trick shots.
Yep. Yeah. So the one most recent one, he takes, he's got a bow in his hand. He lets an arrow go. That arrow goes down and hits another bow's bowstring and bounces back and pops a balloon coming back to him.
James Jean.
That's the one. Yep.
Yeah. Those are some crazy shots. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But he doesn't say how many times it takes to get there.
Yeah, it's dude perfect. I mean, like 100 of those, and then they got it right.
Nice. Oh man! All right, so yeah, one more time, tell everybody where they can go. We got the things in the chat, the ValorArcheryChallenge.com and ArcheryInMotion.com. Just briefly again, describe those two and which one should they click on if not both.
So, Valor Archery Challenge is definitely the 3D archery event designed for military and veterans. Focuses archery as therapy. It is open to the public, so we want to get everybody out there shooting and slinging some arrows. Archery in Motion is the moving target, and there is a backlink from Archery in Motion over to Valor Archery Challenge if you get confused. So that either way, you're going to see it. You're going to get there sooner or later. Y'all are going to come out and sling some arrows with me.
Hell yeah. Yeah, we're in. For sure. We're in.
Yeah, and again, anybody watching, and then we'll upload this audio later, anybody listening later, get outside, try something different, try a challenge. Right. Challenge yourself to do something different, something harder. Go ahead, Dan.
Yeah. And then, no, it is. And I'm challenging. I'm sorry, Earl, but I would even tell you this, as we talk about the veteran world, our amputee folks, or even our adaptive folks.
Yep.
Right. Like, and Sam knows for sure too. I have friends who shoot with a mouthpiece. They have one arm and they pull it.
They push it out.
Go, right.
Nice. Very cool.
Yeah. Yeah. And then Jason Tabansky is a guy. I'll throw my guy Jason out, right? Paralympic archer, gold medalist. He shoots from a chair, but he has, like, they make track chairs. They make tank, like, track chairs.
Yep.
Right? To go out on some of these courses and stuff. So do not let any, right?
You can get out and shoot.
Disability or anything be a hindrance. Yeah. Get out and shoot. Yeah.
That was very important to bring up. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, so everybody get out there, get to those websites, get to ValleyArcheryChallenge.com, ArcheryInMotion.com. We'll let Dave do all the plugs, but quick hot wash, quick AAR. Dan is here to stay. We can't get rid of him. It's awesome. 2 years to get him on the show. We got him here. I tried to give him a segment,
but you're done.
Yeah, we miss you, buddy, but you're fired.
Been replaced.
Yeah, been replaced. And then I tried to give him a segment, but all he could talk about is nobody likes his shoes. And then,
well, my cries. You keep. Why do you? Cries. Yeah. You not want to tell about Cry Precision?
Because nobody knows. We think you're making it up. Nobody knows what cries are. Okay, we got pants that can just get ripped holes.
They created multicam. They're the originator of multicam.
Oh man. So which one? The gray ones? Like what?
No, ACUs, right? ACUs and ABs.
Yeah. No. They suck. Yeah. So. But yeah, you have that, and then you know we were really thrilled that you know we make fun of the non-airborne personnel a lot, so we were really thrilled that you're a tank mechanic. I'm going to call you a tanker for the spirit of the show.
Yeah, yeah,
right. Fair like enough. So, like you're in a tank, and I've told that story before. This is why I started a podcast. I love hearing myself talk. So you know I used to make fun of tankers all the time, and then you know they combined the maneuver center of excellence and had to start going to all these courses with tankers. And you know, I start making fun of this guy, just like I'm laying it on thick for like five straight weeks of how much like I don't like your mustache, you're slow, like what are you doing in my school? Like you don't belong here. And then we get into the tank simulator, and like we're in this battle, this simulated battle. We're just getting massacred. They're trying to let all the grunts do the tank stuff. And like, you know, we're just getting slaughtered. And he's like, I got control, you know, and he just kills like 400 people like in 6 seconds. And I'm like, okay, I get it.
You know what tankers call infantry?
I don't know.
Crunchies.
Crunchies?
Ask me why.
God? Yeah, I don't know. Like what?
Because
like,
you make that crunchy sound when we roll over you.
Yeah, crunchies.
Crunchies. Yeah. Oh, we'll get on the back of them. No. Squirrel.
We should make a shirt with that. I like that.
Yeah, we should. Yeah, let's make a tanker shirt. It's crunchies. Yeah, that'd be freaking awesome. Let's do it. We'll call it the Sam, and we'll
that's fine.
We'll donate half the profits somewhere you want for it.
I'm good with that.
Yeah, and then, you know, like I said, we make fun of the non-airborne personnel, and we really, really appreciate retired General Patrick Donahue, not to be confused with Chris Donahue, but Patrick Donahue solidifying our opinion by saying that he witnessed as the deputy commander of a division that his brigades couldn't fight because they were too slow and vulnerable. Well, you were in charge, butthead, so it's probably your fault.
Self-induced. So,
that's what I would say. But we had that, and then we got to bring on Sam here, which was absolutely awesome. You know, and talk about archery, help Dan fix his left pull, but found him moving on a stationary target too. But we had him there. But no, go challenge yourself. All right, you know, throw some arrows downrange, transition to a moving target. You know, and then say get outside, communicate with people, talk with people, get one with nature, and then just you know, then try to kill it. So it's.
Even the VA has acknowledged that archery is therapy as of what, February of last year.
Oh, really? Yeah, I mean, okay.
Yep. Well, it's the VA. They should have acknowledged it 50 years ago, but it's the VA.
Agreed. So. But, you know, take the VA for what it's worth. At least they acknowledge it.
Yeah. Right. Right.
No, I agree.
So perfect. And yeah, that's about it. Really, really appreciate having you guys on. And we'll let Dave put us out. Let me see if I can find this. The shirt that Dave's wearing. He's trying to show the guns off today because he's sober. Yeah. So
boom. One of our favorite shirts, waterboarding instructor.
Yeah. Nice. Yep. Yeah.
So and then wear that around the summer. Peanut triggered pansy. Another good shirt.
Yeah. That one's on sale right now too.
Yeah. Go to shop.veterantrashtalk.com. That has all of our merch. There it is.
Ooh, somebody scanned the QR triggered. Code. Look at that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
I'm wearing the tank top version, but we have this in shirt version as well. So, you know, go ahead and buy it. Check out veterantrashtalk.com. That is our website, which has the links to everything. If you're watching live right now, please go to YouTube. Give us a subscribe, like. We are shadow banned over there, so like, we need all the support we can get on YouTube. Other than that, great time, and we'll catch you guys next Saturday. Baseman VTT out. Boom.
See you guys.
Man, I was not ready for that transition. It was so cool, but now here we go.